ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। So today we'll be reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the verse we'll be discussing today will be from chapter number 9, that is the most confidential knowledge, and verse number 25. So I'll just repeat the verse and the translation and purport. Yanti Deva Vrata Devan Pitranyanti Pitravrata Bhutani Yanti Bhuteja Yanti Mad Yagyo Mamapi. The translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. And those who worship me will live with me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. If one has any desire to go to the moon, the sun or any other planet, one can attain the desired destination by following specific Vedic principles recommended for that purpose, such as process of technically known as Darsha Paurnamasi. These are vividly described in the fruitive activities portion of the Vedas, which recommends a specific worship of demigods situated on different heavenly planets. Similarly, one can attain the Pita planets by performing a specific yajna. Similarly, one can go to many ghostly planets and become a yaksha, rakshasa or pisacha. Pisacha worship is called black arts or black magic. There are men who practice this black art and they think this is spiritualism, but such activities are completely materialistic. Similarly, a pure devotee who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead only achieve the planets of Vaikuntha and Krishna Loka without a doubt. It is very easy to understand through this important verse that if by simply worshipping the demigods one can achieve the heavenly planets, or by worshipping the Pita one can achieve the Pita planets, or by practicing black arts achieve the ghostly planets, why can the pure devotee not achieve the planet of Krishna or Vishnu? Unfortunately, many people have no information of these sublime planets where Krishna and Vishnu live, and because they do not know of them, they fall down. Even the impersonalists fall down from Brahma Jyoti. The Krishna consciousness movement is there for distributing sublime information to the entire human society, to the effect that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one can become perfect in this life and go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So first of all, I'd like to beg blessings from all the senior devotees sitting over here. I'm speaking after a long time in this dais. It had been around 4 years that I would not sit on this dais, so a bit nervousness will be there. So please request your blessings and permission. So in this particular chapter, the most confidential knowledge, and specifically in today's verse, Krishna is revealing what are the different results for different kinds of worships. If you see the whole chapter, specifically from verse number 20 to 25, Krishna is explaining various things in these five verses. But the main theme of this particular section from 20 to 25 states the supremacy of Lord, worshipping of Lord Krishna over the demigods. From verse number 20 to 25. If you see 20 and 21st verse, Krishna explains that how the worship of demigods is futile. In verse number 21st especially, Krishna explains that how when someone accumulates lot of pious activities by performing yajnas or different altruistic or philanthropic works, all those credits or all those punya karma are exhausted one day. Because there are people, there's a class of people who want to enjoy in a better way. Enjoyment in this material world, this earthly planet, has many flaws as well as limitations. For example, if you want to, you know, have good kind of food, it's very rarely available in today's market especially. Or you want to have higher kind of sexual pleasure or intoxication or higher life standards. On this earthly planet it is not possible because there is everything is limited over here. The resources for enjoyment are limited. So these people, this kind of people who want higher kind of enjoyment, they undergo certain sacrifices in this present lifespan. Why? So that they can enjoy better in their next life. So they have goal of attaining heavenly planets. And the Karmakanda section of the Vedas explains the different procedures and the rituals which can transfer you to the heavenly planets. So, Bhagavad Gita, in this particular section, Krishna explains that how, even if someone transfers himself to the heavenly planets by performing yajna and various procedures, still Krishna says that it is very inferior and it is futile. Why? Because shine punya marte lokam vishanti. Krishna says that just like we have a debit card or a credit card, and every debit card or a credit card has a limit of swiping. You just can't keep on swiping it as you desire. One fine day when the limit is exceeded, it won't produce any results. Similarly, when someone goes to heavenly planets and enjoys the material pleasures over there, he is actually exhausting all his pious quota. All the pious credits that he has accumulated by such hard work is getting exhausted slowly, slowly, slowly. And when it reaches its limit, it exceeds its limit, that particular jiva or the soul has to again fall down into this material world. And then again he has to start from block one, point one again. So therefore Krishna in this first two shlokas explains how the desire to enjoy materialistic enjoyment by transferring himself to heavenly planets is futile. And then immediately Krishna establishes the supremacy of worshipping or devotional service. And he explains, as we know, the shloka is very famous shloka. Ananyas chintayantu mam ye jana paryupasite tesham nitya bhyuktanam yogakshemam vahamiham. Krishna explains that anyone who takes up to the worship of Lord Krishna, ananyas chintayantu mam ye jana paryupasite tesham nitya abhyuktanam yogakshemam vahamiham. I provide him whatever he lacks and carry whatever he has. That is, Krishna provides such a soul his complete protection. And even if that particular person who is performing devotional service is incomplete, Krishna gives him his helping hand. Just like in second chapter it is explained that Neha Bikrama Nashosti Pratyavayuna Vidyate Svalpamapyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobhayat. That even if a devotee, a practitioner advances on the path of devotion even little bit, and if he again falls down, Krishna says, I take care of that person. I see to it that whatever he has gained is not lost. Exactly opposite to the demigod worship. In the case of demigod worship, we see how whatever he has accumulated gets exhausted. Whereas Krishna says that whatever you have, it will be preserved. So immediately Krishna establishes the supremacy of devotional service. And then in Krishna, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains very nicely about how Krishna protects his devotee. Chaitanya Bhagavat says that Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage vishay sukh amrita chhadi vish mange ehi bada murkh ami vigyan vishay kena diba swa charanamrita diya vishay bhulaya. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says that Krishna kahe, Krishna says that this particular person ama bhaje, he is worshipping me, and what is he asking for? Mage vishaya sukh, he is asking for vishaya sukh. Amrita chhadi, he is leaving the nectar aside. Visha mange, he is asking for nectar, for poison in the form of sense gratification. Yehi bada murkh, he is a great fool, he could have asked for better things from me. But then that doesn't end there. Krishna says, Ami Vigyan, I am very intelligent. Vishay kena diva, why should I give him this poison of sense gratification? I'll give him swa charnamrit diya vishay bhulaya. I'll give him my charnamrit and make him forget the taste of material sense gratification. So that is how Krishna says that yogakshema vahamyaham, that I will protect my devotee. Then in verse number 23 to 24, Krishna explains how the demigod worship is indirect worship of Krishna. Basically this discussion that is going on is very coincidentally, we are discussing this topics exactly when the Ganesh festival was going on. So it is very significant that we discuss all these things, so that we understand the drawbacks of demigod worship and the supremacy of worshipping Lord Krishna, who is the source of all the sources within this material creation. So verse number 23 to 24 speaks about how this demigod worship is an indirect worship of Lord Krishna. And therefore Krishna terms it as avidhi purvakam. Avidhi purvakam means it's not according to proper standards. Why is it avidhi purvakam? Because although these people, Krishna says in one of the shlokas in this same section, that how these people, when they are worshipping demigods, they are actually worshipping Lord Krishna only. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Shri Gopal ji ki. So Krishna is telling that how when someone is worshipping demigods, it is as good as worshipping him only. It is not as good as, it is indirectly worshipping Lord Krishna only. Why? Because it is said, Deva Narayana Angajaha. Because all these demigods are the different parts of Lord Krishna. But then Krishna says, why it is called as Avidhi Purvakam? Because they fail to understand or recognize the supremacy of Lord Krishna. Because when these people, these demigod worshippers are worshipping a particular demigod, they take him as all and all, that he is the supreme. Because he is providing all my needs, he is the supreme. They don't have knowledge of someone being behind him, who is actually providing all the energy and the strength to that particular demigod, because of lack of knowledge. Even Brahma Samhita says, especially about Lord Ganesha, that Yad Pada Pallava Yugam Vinidhaya Kumbha Dwande Pranama Samaye Sa Ganadhi Raja. Brahmaji himself is telling, the one who has created this whole material universe, he tells in this particular verse that how Lord Ganesha himself is receiving all his power, all the benedictions that he is giving to all his devotees, he is receiving it from the Lord Narsingadev. Yad Pada Pallava, he is keeping the feet of Lord Narsingadev on his head. And that's where he is getting all his strength from. So in case of demigod worshippers, it is avidhi purvakam, because they are not aware about the supremacy of Lord Krishna. Because they know that he is providing me everything, he is the supreme for me. It is just like a small child was, you know, in school, asked by his teacher that, my dear child, tell me, where do you get milk from? So this boy said, Dudhwala Bhaiya. Because the Dudhwala Bhaiya comes every day morning with the can and he gives milk. So he knows that, yeah, Dudhwala Bhaiya is one who gives the milk. He is not aware about the cow who is actually giving the milk. So similarly, these demigod worshippers are intoxicated, they are blinded by the benefits that they are receiving. Like Niti Shastra says, Naivam Pashyanti Janmanda, Kamanda Naiva Pashyanti, Madhavan Matta Naiva Pashyanti, Arthi Dosham Na Pashyanti. There are four kind of people who are blind. One is Naivam Pashyanti Janmanda, who is born blind. Kamandha Naiva Pashyanti, who is the person who is intoxicated by the desire for sense gratification. Arthi Dosham Na Pashyanti, one who has who is lacking money, he doesn't see anything wrong and right. He becomes blind basically to the facts of life. And Madon Mattana Pashyanti, one who is too much intoxicated by pride, he also gets blinded by illusion. So these people are unaware, they are blinded by their demands. And in 10th chapter, Krishna himself says, in the chapter of opulences of the absolute, Krishna says that all the beautiful things and all the amazing things that you see in this material world are nothing but the spark of my splendor. So everything that you see in this material world is emanating from Lord Krishna. But these people, these demigod worshippers, are completely unaware. And therefore Krishna says that although these people are worshipping me indirectly, but it is avidhi purvakam. In Srimad Bhagavatam also it is mentioned that how if someone is performing his occupational activities, his dharma, according to his situation, dharma swanutishta pumsa, Vishvaksena kathasviya na udpadayad yadiratim. Even if someone is performing his occupations, his dharma, according to his situation, but if there is na udpadayad yadiratim, if it is not awakening our attraction, our love for Lord Krishna, devotional service is not there, then what? Shrama evahi kevalam. Krishna says that it is just waste of time. It is all waste of our endeavors. So they were this kind of worship is not recommended. Even in Hari Bhakti Sudhoda it is mentioned, Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastra Japastapa अप्राणस्य इव देहस्य मंडलम लोकरंजनम, अप्राणस्य इव देहनम मंडलम लोकरंजनम. या इट इज सेड दैट इफ एनी काइंड ऑफ एक्टिविटीज भगवत भक्तिहीनस्य जाति, इफ वन इज बॉर्न इन अ हायर कास्ट, शास्त्रस, इफ समवन इज स्टडिंग एलैबोरेटली ऑल द स्क्रिप्चर्स, जप, इफ समवन इज डूइंग जपा एवरी डे, तपह, इज डूइंग पेनेंसेस, बट इफ इट इज भगवत भक्तिहीनस्य, इट इज डिवॉइड ऑफ लव फॉर कृष्णा, ऑफ अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा, देन इट इज कंसिडर्ड टू बी अप्राणस्य इह देहस्य. इट इज लाइक वेरियस ऑर्नमेंटेशन ऑन द डेड बॉडी. सो इफ यू हैव अ डेड बॉडी एंड इफ यू डेकोरेट इट नाइसली विथ नाइस नेकलेसेस, इयर रिंग्स और वॉट एवर, बट वॉट इज यूज ऑफ डेकोरेटिंग, द बॉडी इज डेड. सो कृष्णा कंसिडर दिस काइंड ऑफ वर्शिप टू बी अनऑथराइज्ड. So this is the first flaw of demigod worship, that it is avidhi purvakam. The second flaw of demigod worship is that the one who is worshipping demigod has a very mundane mentality. Why it is mundane? Because he is doing it for his self-interest. Basically, there is a mutual understanding that I give you this, you give me that. You scratch my back and I'll scratch your back. So it is just like a prostitute mentality. Like we see, we recently only witnessed, I stay at Lal Bagh, so I know very well, that how many hours and hours and hours people were standing in the line for having darshan of that particular their object of worship. 30 hours people were standing. Even nowadays people don't stand for Tirupati Balaji for that long. So 30 hours people were standing for what? Not that when they come in front of Lord Ganesha they say, my dear Lord, I love you, and they go out from there. Is it like that? Certainly not. For 30 hours they are standing in line, they are calculating what all I need to ask from when I come in front of the Lord. In fact, they have made a list of everything that they are going to speak in front of the Lord. In fact, these people are none other than all those people have asked for a lot of desires, lot of benedictions in their last trip to that particular Ganesha, and because they were fulfilled, now they are standing to offer the Lord in exchange. Because he fulfilled my desires, now I'll give him whatever I have promised. So this is the flaw. There is no relation of love and devotion. It is just a mutual understanding. Just like in case of Hiranyakashipu also, we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Hiranyakashipu, his brother Hiranyaksha was killed by Lord Vishnu. So he had strong enmity towards Lord Vishnu, and he wanted to kill Vishnu. And with this sole purpose, he performed severe tapasya for 1000 celestial years. He was standing on his one leg with hands up and very rarely breathing also. And in all Vedas, sun, it was summer was there, rainy season, winter, throughout all the seasons he was standing just like that, to the extent that his whole body was eaten up by the ants, and the whole body was covered with ant hill. And when Lord Brahma saw that this person is, doing a lot of tapasya, he came in front of him. He had to hesitantly come in front of Hiranyakashipu. And when Hiranyakashipu, Lord Brahma sprinkled water on him and he got a beautiful body, a youthful, strong body. And then, as soon as Hiranyakashipu got this beautiful body, he had darshan of Brahma, he started glorifying Brahmaji in various verses and prayers, addressing him as a supreme. You are the supreme, you are this, you are that, canvassing Lord Brahma. For what? Not just so that he can, get his favor. No, he wanted all his desires to be fulfilled. Immediately, as soon as the prayers were finished, he started demanding, okay, now please, all that I have done, please reward me for that. And then he started demanding, give me immortality. So Brahmaji said, no, I can't give you immortality. And he said, oh my God, so all that tapasya that I have done, I can't drain it in drainage like this. I just can't, waste it like that. So he thought, now what should I do? And then he thought, okay, if you not immortality, give me this. I should not be killed under, by any weapon, by any animal, man, on land or on air. So, here we see Hiranyakashipu immediately, devising his plans. That, what should I get from Brahmaji? Another example is of, the Durga worshipper. We all know the story which is very famous. There was one worshipper of Lord Kali. And this particular worshipper, he, according to proper rules and rituals, performed the puja of Kali and asked for the benediction from Goddess Durga. And the Durga, being pleased with him, benedicted him with whatever he had, with whatever desires he had. And when he was praying to Kali, he said that, okay, if my dear Devi, if you fulfill my desire, I will certainly offer you a goat. Because Durga Puja, all the worshippers give them that bali of goats and all those things. Because that kind of worship is considered to be in mode of ignorance. So, as soon as his desires were fulfilled, this person, he disappeared from there. Without fulfilling, the demands or the promise that he has done to this goddess Kali. So the Kali was waiting for long time, and she said, "Arey, this person has not yet, fulfilled his promise. He can come in problem if he doesn't do so." So Lord, this goddess Kali herself came in front of this devotee and told her that, my dear child, you had promised me that you will offer me goat if your desires are fulfilled, and your desires are fulfilled, please offer. So this particular devotee said, oh my dear Kali, my Durgaji, you know how much things are expensive in today's age, so it's very expensive, goat I can't offer. So she said, okay, if you can't offer goat, at least offer me a small hen. I'll be happy with that. So he said, okay, I'll just check it out and then let you know. And then again he disappears. Again some days passed away. And then the goddess Durga come in front of this devotee and says, that you have not yet fulfilled your promise. What happened? Oh, even hen has become this very expensive. So I can't do even that. So the Durga Devi, she said, oh my God, she felt pity on this guy for his, miserly behavior. And she said, okay, my dear child, even if you don't offer me hen, it's all right. Offer me at least a small fly, So this goddess Durga, this devotee who was very miserly and very intelligent, he said, my dear Durga Deviji, there are so many flies which are flying around you. Why don't you grab one for yourself only? And you offer it to yourself only. So, basically, the mentality of the demigod worshipper has been reflected through this story. That how the demigod worshippers, once their desires are fulfilled, everything is done for them. basically the whole relation is based on self, on exploitation. You give me this and I'll give you that. So this is the flaw in demigod worshipping, that the mentality is of self, or you know, exploiting each other. And the third flaw that we'll discuss about in demigod worshipping is something which we are going to discuss in today's verse. It is given. Today's verse, it is said that how those who worship the demigods, they achieve the planets of demigods. Yanti deva vrita devan. That is the heavenly planet. By worshipping Indra and Chandra according to the Vedic rituals, one can achieve the heavenly planets. By performing, or by performing worship to Pitra or the ancestors, one can achieve the planets of the ancestors. But Krishna says that one who worships me, he achieves my planet. That is Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. Now there is another verse which also speaks about the similar thing in Bhagavad Gita. Antavattu phalam tesham yad bhavati alpamedasa devan deva yajoyanti mad bhakta yanti mamapi. Krishna is in another section speaks about how antavattu phalam tesham. Now in this particular verse, why I have taken this verse? Because this verse also reveals one of the flaws in demigod worship. Antavat tu phalam tesham. The demigod worshippers, they put so much hard work in worshipping demigods, doing different kind of yajna and pujas to get something from the demigods. But Krishna says that all the things that are achieved by worshipping demigods, they are antavat. They are bound to perish by the influence of time. Antavat phalam tesham. Yad bhavati, tad bhavati alpamedasa. And therefore, Lord Krishna termed this kind of people as alpamedasa, less intelligent. Why? Because they are trying to endeavor for something which is temporary in nature. Tad bhavati alpamedasa. Just like, you know, an example is given of honeybee and a farmer. A honeybee, we know how honeybee goes from this flower to that flower, from that flower to this flower. It keeps on, the whole day she keeps on collecting nectar, going on different flowers, and then after collecting nectar, she stores it in the honeycomb, beehive. Lot of hard work she does. Years and years, no, if not years, months take to create that whole beehive. And then one fine day, what happens? A farmer comes and he sets fire under that tree. And with that fire, the smoke, all the bees run away, keeping aside all the, you know, the assets that they have earned with so much hard work. And then the farmer climbs a tree, he takes out that whole honey and he sells it for his own purpose. So similarly, you know, all these demigod worshippers, those who are materialistically inclined, these people work hard throughout their life. You know, especially if you speak about demigods, they keep on worshipping. On Monday, they go to this temple. Tuesday, this temple. Wednesday, this temple. Thursday, this temple. Friday, this. Saturday, this. And they are praying and trying to collect all different things from these demigods. But then, one fine day, a farmer or the time comes in front in form of death, and it snatches away all the things that we have, and everyone has to leave aside all the assets, the designations, everything that they have accumulated in their whole life. They have to just keep it aside, and they have to surrender to the time. Just like the beehive, you know, the bees have to leave aside their honeycomb and flee away for their life. So this is the nature of the fruits which are achieved by worshipping demigods. They are all temporary in nature. And therefore Krishna says that this kind of worship is meant for less intelligent people, because they are striving to get something which is temporary in nature. Even demigods, you know, even if they want to seek something permanent, what can the demigods give? Because demigods themselves have temporary lifespan. It may be, you know, thousands and thousands of years, but ultimately, even demigods have to, they have the influence of time on them. And therefore, the fruits that they give will also be temporary. Therefore, Krishna in the next line says that Devan Deva Yajo Yanti, that those who worship the demigods, it's not from this verse, it is also same. The Devan Vrata Yanti Deva Vrata Devan, that those who worship demigods will go to the planet of demigod, which is temporary. During the annihilation of the whole creation, the heavenly planets are also the part of the annihilation. But Krishna says, Yanti Mad Yajino Api Mam, that anyone who comes to my planet, anyone who worships me has to come to my planet. And that particular planet, which is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam and various scriptures, Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means which is freed from all kind of anxieties, which has no influence of time or birth, old age, disease and death. That Vaikuntha planet is permanent in nature. Therefore, if someone wants permanent asset in his life, a permanent life, a permanent residence, it can't be achieved by worshipping demigods. Therefore it is said, Mukti Pradata Sarvesham Vishnur Eva Asamshaya. Krishna is also called as Mukunda, the one who gives Mukti. So if someone wants Mukti or liberation from this suffering of birth, old age, disease and death, then Mukti Pradata Sarvesham Vishnur Eva Asamshaya. There is only one person who can give us that liberation, and that is Mukunda, Lord Krishna. So this is the flaw of worshipping demigods, that the fruits which are offered by demigods are temporary in nature. Like people, there is a common philosophy that, you know, kuch bhi karo, ultimately result ek hi hai. Whatever you do, you are going to sabko ek hi jagah pe jane ka ultimately. This is a common philosophy if you hear from people. But it's not like that. It's just like saying that if you want to go to Pune, go to the Bombay Central and catch any bus. You will reach Pune only. No, it's not like that. If you want to go to Pune or if you want to go to Ratnagiri, you have to catch a particular train or a bus which will take you to that proper destination. Similarly, Krishna is telling over here which destination you will reach after catching which bus. If you catch the bus of demigods, you will reach their abode. If you worship ancestors, you will worship or you will reach their dham or their abode. But if you worship me, you will come to my abode. So, that is the nature of worshipping Lord Krishna. If you worship Lord Krishna, you are certainly going to get that eternal abode of Lord Krishna. Therefore, those who worship Lord Krishna, they naturally inherit the abode of Lord Krishna. Why? Because those who are worshippers of Lord Krishna, their relation with Lord is not based on exploitation. The relationship with Lord is selfless. The love and the devotion that the devotee has towards Lord is selfless and unmotivated. Therefore, Lord Krishna very happily benedicts them, the residents in the spiritual world. And we see in case of Dhruva Maharaj, how in Dhruva Maharaj, he went to jungle with one desire. And the desire was to get a kingdom which is much bigger than his forefather Lord Brahma. So with this only desire, Dhruva Maharaj went in jungle. And he went to jungle and performed severe tapasya and penances and meditated on the names of Lord Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And when he performed the severe tapasya, his heart was purified of all the material desires. And one fine day, being pleased with his devotion, Lord Vishnu, Krishna himself came in front of Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj and Lord Vishnu said, okay, please ask any benedictions that you want. So that time, Dhruva Maharaj, just imagine, exactly opposite to Hiranyakashipu. Dhruva Maharaj also was performing lot of tapasya. And when the time came for the fulfillment of all the desires that he had, what did Dhruva Maharaj said? Sthana bhilashi tapaso istutaham tvam praptavan deva munindra ghuyam kachan vichinvan api divyaratnam swamin krithartosmi varam nayache. Dhruva Maharaj says that sthana bhilashi tapasi stitoham, that I came in this jungle with desire to achieve sthana bhilashi, a position which is far greater than my forefather Brahma. With this desire, I did tapasya. Sthana bhilashi tapasi stitoham. Tvam praptavan deva munindra guyam. But now that I have achieved your darshan, tvam praptavan deva munindra guyam, which is rare even for the great sages and munis. Kachan vichinvan apidivya ratnam. My dear Lord, when I came in this jungle, I was searching for the broken pieces of glass. Kachan vichinvan apidivya ratnam. But what have I achieved? When I was searching for these broken pieces of glass, I have got a jewel, a very priceless jewel of your darshan, api divya ratnam. Swamin kritartosmi varam nayache. Therefore, my Lord, I am completely satisfied now. Kritartosmi varam nayache, and I don't want any sort of benediction now. So that is the nature of devotional service. It is completely devoid of selfish motives or materialistic desires when it is in a purified state. So, Dhruva Maharaj, although had all the prospects for enjoyment, he just said that all I need is just the association of your devotees. Let me incessantly hear the glories of Lord Krishna in the association of devotees. So that was his desire. Just like Prahlad Maharaj also. Prahlad Maharaj also went through so many trials and tribulations. He was being afflicted by his father, trying to kill, poison, was being thrown from the cliff. But then, When the time came, Lord Narasingha appeared. He killed Hiranyakashipu and Lord Narasingha asked for the benedictions. What did Prahlad Maharaj say? I don't want anything, my Lord. All you do is just, you know, liberate my father. Just imagine, the same father who was trying to kill him, Prahlad Maharaj said, you liberate my father. Narasingadev said, it has already been done before you are telling me. You know, all your 18 generations up and down are liberated just because of your pure devotion. And then Prahlad Maharaj says that, you know, my dear Lord, I don't want liberation. Let me stay in this material world. Let me rot over here. In the sense, let me be here and suffer for all the sins of all the people in this world. And take back everyone else. Just see. Can't even fathom the degree of compassion that Prahlad Maharaj had. So this is the nature of the devotee of the Lord. Very exactly opposite to the demigod worship, the mood or the essence of demigod worship. It is based on pure love and devotion to the Lord. And therefore, for such devotees who are completely dedicated and surrendered to the Supreme Lord, Lord Krishna himself sends his representative along with the Vaikuntha plane to get his devotees into his abode. And we have already seen in the case of Tukaram Maharaj, as we have heard, and even in Dhruva Maharaj case, you know, the Vaikuntha planet with Vishnu Dutas came to take them back to the spiritual abode. And exactly opposite, again, see the demigod worshippers. They go to the heavenly planets and then they fall down again. They have been pushed down to the material earthly planet. So that's how the worship to Lord Krishna or Vishnu is supreme, has an upper hand over the worshipping of demigods. Such devotees who are completely surrendered unto the Supreme Lord are rewarded the position in spiritual planet. They don't have to see the face of Yamaraj. They don't have to face the wrath of Yamadutas. Even in case of Ajamil, you know how we all are aware, to cut it short, that Ajamil was a very sinful person. And somehow that he was attached to his small child Narayan. And at the time of death, when Yamadutas came, because he had done lot of sins. So at the time of death, when Yamadutas came to take him to the hellish planets, Ajamil cried out Narayan, his small child's name. And Krishna promises in Bhagavad Gita that anyone who calls out or remembers me, I take him to my abode. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yaha prayati samadbhavam yati asti yatra samshaya. Yati nasti yatra samshaya. So Ajamil also called out for Narayan, and then immediately the Vishnudutas came, intervened in between, and they stopped Yamadutas, that you can't take him because he has uttered the name of Lord Krishna, Narayan. So we are taking him to our abode. And there was beautiful conversation between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas. So the ultimate result was that Vishnudutas won over the Yamadutas. And Yamadutas have to go back, first time in the history of their career, they have to return back without taking their victim. And then when they came in front of Yamaduta, they started complaining that, my dear Lord, how many supreme beings are there in this world? How many authorities are there? You authorized us to go and take that sinful person, but there were some other representatives of some other authority who stopped us. Tell me, who is the supreme authority? And then the Yamaraj had a good chance to give them a nice Bhagavatam class. So wonderfully he describes about the Supreme Lord. Who is Lord? Who is Supreme? He is, Yamaraj says that he is supreme than me, Lord Krishna. And then he also explains about the glories of his devotees. And while describing the glories of his devotees, Yamaraji warns the Yamadutas that don't even go close to the devotees of the Lord. Why? Because they are protected by the gada, by the mace of Lord Vishnu. And no one can affect them, nor myself, nor Indra, nor even the time. That is the glory of the devotees of Lord Krishna. And then, immediately in the next verse, Yamaraji says that, what is the category of people which you are supposed to get into this Yamaloka, and what is the category of people you have to leave aside? As in this previous verse, Yamaraji explains that who are the people who you should not go close to. Then Yamadutas are confused. Now whom should we get then now? So Yamaraj says that Jivhana Vakti Bhagavat Gunanamadheyam Chetaschana Smarati Tacharnaravindam Krishnaya No Namati Yakshira Ekadapi Tan Anayadhavan Akrita Vishnukrityan. Yamaraj says that Jivhana Vakti Bhagavat Gunanamadheyam. Those people whose tongue does not utter the glories of Lord Krishna. First category. Chetasya nasmarati tacharnaravindam. The hearts of those people who does not meditate on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Krishnaya no namakti yakshira ekadapi. Those people who do not surrender themselves or do not bow down in front of Lord Krishna even once. Get that kind of people. Akritya Vishnu Krityan, who does not follow the rules and regulations put forward by the scriptures. So this is a category of people who you should get into this Yamaloka. So we see when you come in temple, we have facility to do all the three things. We can chant the names of Lord Krishna. We can remember or meditate on the lotus feet of Lord, and we can even bow down. So just by entering into the temple hall, we are actually securing ourselves from the hands of Yamadutas. So this was the explanation that Yamaraji gives, and which also very clearly states that who are supposed to go to the abode of Yamaraj and who are supposed to go to the Vaikuntha Loka. So this is the glory of the devotees, and this is the glory of worshipping Lord Krishna, that one who worships Lord Krishna, he has been benedicted the residence in Krishna's his own home, that is the Vaikuntha planets or Krishna Loka, the Goloka Vrindavan. And the special feature of this planet is that yad gatvana nivartante tad dhama paramam mama, that anyone who goes over there into the spiritual abode, he doesn't have to again come back into this mortal world. Just like, you know, in the case of demigod worshippers, they have to again come back. So I hope this was proper explanation for you all. If we have any questions, then we can take one. Otherwise we'll do some kirtan. Yes, for you.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, for you.
Nice lecture.
Hare Krishna.
Like during Ganesh festival, like those who are worshippers of Ganesh in our neighborhood, they used to give a Ganesh prasad.
Ganesh prasad.
Yeah. So, eating Ganesh prasad, like any prasad of demigod, is it as good as prasad of Krishna, or it's supposed to be taken?
Actually, see, we also have a Ganesh deity outside, if you see. So, it is said that, when someone is preparing food or when it is offered, the food is offered, the mentality of the person is impregnated within that food. If it is offered with a lot of devotion, what happens? When you take that prasad, it influences our consciousness. If it is offered with great devotion to Lord, it gives you, devotion to Lord. But if it is offered with, desire for sense gratification or for fulfillment of his own materialistic desire, then it may influence our consciousness. So it depends upon the consciousness of a person who is offering that particular food to the Lord. If it is offered with strong devotion to Ganesh, understanding his position, understanding him to be one of the representative of or one of the associate of the Lord, then that food will not have a negative effect on your consciousness. So it depends upon what mood someone is offering the food. So Vaishnavas offer food to Ganeshji with a proper understanding and mood. So that won't influence your consciousness. Many times in our house especially, we also had Ganeshji. So in there we had a small deity of Gopalji. So many times what happens is people first offer to the small Laddu Gopal and then the remnants are offered to the Lord Ganeshji. So even Lord Ganesha is very happy. Everyone, right from Lord Brahma to Lord Shiva, everyone is hankering to get the remnants of Lord. So if you can have that kind of worship, then it's recommended. Any other question? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki.